It's another edition of the Fallscast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, where today, Sunday, October 24th, it's the fall.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's the coldest day so far, man.
To bust out the puffer jacket this weekend.
I got some shrinkage.
Whoa. Some things we don't need to know, Stephen.
We're here with some of our favorite Fallscasters, including myself, Bart Sullivan. I never introduce myself. I've noticed that. But Oof. We also have...
Bart is here. It's the voice of God.
Who?
I am Bart.
Bart, I love you.
We also have the... You know what, Alex? I don't think we've ever come up with any sort of description for you. I always call Mike... I think we both call Handsome. Mike the Bold and the Beautiful. Yeah.
Bald and beautiful, baby.
Mikey the
Bees.
Weird.
But we have Alex Hall.
I'm here. It's me. Hello.
Long lost soul. Woo. Found again. The prodigal son has returned.
We also have...
Wait, I meant to say, hey, Mike, I love you, man.
I hate you. Fuck off, eat shit and die.
Some extra spice today.
Sure.
Pumpkin and this spice. Time, you're not sitting right next to each other.
No.
With no maple glazed donuts cheese. Either.
If we were, we'd certainly stab me.
Hate maple. Hate maple.
You didn't eat those cinnamon rolls yesterday?
Get out of here with maple.
Oh, man.
Cinnamon roll, yes. Maple, no.
Well, there was maple
that.
Frosting nope. on the cinnamon roll. You're fired. Mute yourself, sir. You're blasphemous.
Mr. Maple himself, Mike Thurl.
I hate you all.
You should just make the sound as your Mike Thurl.
We have Kathy McMenemy.
Yay. Good morning.
Yay. Said it right.
Whoa. I've been made fun of by a coworker that I can't say it right also. So.
Oh.
Well, that means people are listening.
What?
And finally, Stephen and Jennifer Mulay.
Hello.
Howdy doodly do.
That was a good one.
With their weird
that would be the best one ever.
Frosting.
Trying to make it sound like a rooster. I think I'm failing.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I started.
Any cock-a-doodle. What?
Yeah. But without, instead of caca.
Well, you know.
I told you guys caca. I started watching The Simpsons from the beginning. And so every time you do that, it's like you're like Ned Flanders to me now.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just try and be like Ned Flanders.
I think that's actually where the inspiration came from.
Of course. Yeah. It's Ned Flanders who says that.
Yeah.
Howdy doodly doo, neighbor.
On today's Fallscast, we will have my interview with Evan Perot running for council at large. And later this week, we will have...
Sorry, I just thought that was funny that there was like silence.
Pause. Dramatic pause.
I was trying to get the agenda pulled up so I could actually sound intelligent, but.
Hey, listen, I'll say this about Evan Perot. He served on the levy committee in 19, helped get that passed, was passionate about that. So I give him credit for that. And it's cool that he came on the show. So.
Absolutely.
Agree.
Later this week, we'll have a bonus episode of Alex's interview with current at-large councilman Russ Balsas, who's running for re-election.
Yeah, well, not re-election in a certain sense, because he was actually never elected. He was appointed after the 19 election, I think, because there was, I forget what actually how it actually went down, but, I know what it was. This was when Tim Gorbach had run for the other at-large seat in order to give the Democrats the option to then appoint the open seat. And Russ Balthus, who at the time was the city's law director, was able to step down as law director and become the next at-large city councilman. Our discussion was fantastic. He's been on the show before, so some of the stuff, if you listen to the last episode we had with him, was kind of doubled up because we talked about, like, for instance, the car wash across from the Ernest Angley Church and stuff, which he was kind of the spokesperson for city council on that as, like, you know, the former law director and a brilliant lawyer.
Alex, how long was he the law director for?
I think from 13 through 19.
Okay,
yeah,
6 years.
He came in with Don Walters. He was appointed by Don Walters. So, but yeah, it's a great discussion. It's long enough that we can do it as a bonus episode. And just a little preview. We talked about this before we started recording, that I do have an interview scheduled with Councilman Frank Stams, which I'm really excited about. And we're hoping to get Jerry James too. And if we do that, we will have gotten at least one person from each current race. Not all opponents, but, you know, we're running out of time. So,
you know, we can't force people to talk to us if they don't want to talk to us. So, I mean, you know, we're going to try to offer, if we haven't done it already, we're going to try our offer interview to everyone if we can fit everybody in. It's not
our goal. Get back to
it's
us.
Not our goal to leave anybody out on purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
But, and then, you know, like Alex said, we're starting to run low on time.
Yeah.
Speaking of interviews, if we are always in the market for article ideas, submissions of your own work, suggestions for interviews, you can hit us up at fallstreetpress@gmail.com or via our Facebook page and send us your comments, your interview suggestions, article ideas, submissions of your own work, you know. Whatever you'd like to send us. And that includes reviews of our show. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those. And
of course, there'll be nothing but 5 stars because we're so golden.
Exactly.
We all accept bribes like chocolate chip cookies and brownies and stuff. So
a lot of mentions of how Mike hates me probably is gonna happen. This show is cool, but I don't understand why that guy hates that other guy so much.
Oh, love, hate, list. Two sides of the same coin.
Very long list.
And we continue to encourage our readers and listeners to shop local and keep their money in the falls, especially as the holiday buying season is just around the corner. You guys go anywhere cool this week?
I don't think we did anything.
No.
I had a busy Saturday. I went yesterday and met up with our friend, the Green Girl, Sarah Banzoff. Shout out to Sarah. For some pizza and beer and really good fall harvest salad at Hi Ho. So we had an early dinner. Hadn't seen Sarah in forever. Obviously, pandemic, it's hard to keep up with people, but we were able to make that happen. Maybe we'll get Sarah to do some more Green Girl articles for us here soon. That fall harvest salad was really, really good.
I've had that one. It is really tasty.
It's very tasty.
Yeah, it's like manchego and I think dried cherries and walnuts and like some kind of really good greens. So
one of their dressings has some sesame in it. So we had a little scare where I almost put it on the salad and I was like, wait, because Steve can't eat that. It'll kill him. But yeah, that harvest salad is so tasty.
Yeah, and it came with this like white French. I've never had a dressing like that called white French, but it was really good. And we got a pizza that was like prosciutto. You shut your mouth, Mike.
Meat.
An extra salty
meat.
White sauce.
What happened?
Oh, God. So we got the pizza we got was supposed to have prosciutto, but I don't eat meat, so we didn't get it. But it had like fig jam and garlic. And it was kind of a white pizza. Very good. And I got the High Hazy Ho. And I think Sarah was drinking a Norca. So it was a nice meal. And then last night, after about 9 o'clock, my good friend Landon Kearns was playing some live music at Divine over there on Hudson Drive. And I had yet to have gone in there. I know Mike knows the owners a little bit, and we had them on the show. So I came in and I kind of was like, hey, I finally get to meet you guys in person. They were extremely welcoming. I got to walk around the place. The live music was great. It was just a couple of guys and acoustic guitars.
Did you have any cocktails? Their cocktails are crazy.
They're awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so Divine is fancy. It's not like a bar. I mean, it has
a bar. No, it's like New York fancy.
It's not
the menu,
it's not your typical
and the prices.
Cuyahoga Falls.
Yeah, we're talking $25 entrees. Yeah. But I think it'd be a great like date night place.
So that was no to the cocktails then? Too fancy?
No, they had Madcap on tap, Bullet. Mike and I actually went to the Madcap Brewery, a year ago or something?
Year and a half. Or was it a year?
I think it
was in the pandemic.
It was about this time of year. No, it was before. So 2 years ago, I bet. Wow.
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah. I love that brewery. I love the vibe. It's kind of like a warehouse thing with pinball tables and like, you know, it's all cement and steel, which is cool. But it's set in like a weird spot, you know. It's almost in like
Madcap
a
tent.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been to Madcap.
I don't. It's okay.
Jennifer,
yes.
Carl's 50th. 50th birthday was there,
Yeah, I don't... I'm not really a fan of that spot. It's weird. It's kind of out in the middle of a field, almost.
It's a great location. It's cool.
I think it's just too isolated.
It doesn't feel homey. It just feels too... I feel like I'm in a warehouse.
Yeah, well, you are.
I know. And it feels like it, too. I like the beer. The beer was good. And we had, a catered meal when we went?
Yeah.
And they did the catering, right?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Somebody from outside.
Oh, did they? Okay, well. Yeah.
I think that the Bullet IPA is the best local IPA, in my opinion, in this sort of like general area, Stowe, Cuyahoga Falls, Kent.
I haven't had Matt Cap in a while.
Matt Cap's good.
I mean, Missing Mountain has a great one too that I love. But I really like Bullet, and I love MacArthur's too. But anyway, yeah, I went to Divine and I had a couple of Bullet IPAs and watched my friend Landon play some music with his friend Brett Auerbach, no relation. It was great. It was a great night. I can't wait to go back there and eat when I can afford it because it's pricey. But I think rightfully so because the food that I saw coming out of the kitchen looked amazing. Landon's daughter is in middle school and she was like hanging out there, like, you know, watching her dad play music, you know, just really just loving every minute of it. And she ordered fried mozzarella. And I'm expecting like mozzarella cheese sticks to come out. But what came out were like these big billowy, like cloud looking, almost looked like ravioli. They were amazing. I didn't eat any, but they looked amazing.
And, was it crowded? Was it busy there? Were they full?
The whole bar was full, but the dining room was not. Now, granted, I didn't get there till probably 9:30.
Okay, late.
So it was really more of a bar vibe when I was there. But there was like one table and they were like drinking wine. And so.
Cool. Yeah, I would say that it's similar to Moe's, like the dining room area, Moe's, not the bar area.
But more avant-garde.
Yes, a little bit, and more modern.
It's really cool, like textile wall.
Yeah, yeah, it's upscale.
It's very visually stimulating.
It's a cool place. It's definitely a good anniversary, you know, date night kind of place.
100%.
That's it for me, Bart.
Yeah, we didn't go. I mean, speaking of Madcap, the only place we went locally was in Kent. Our friend Jennifer Herman's microbrewery, Bell Tower Brewing.
The second day they were officially open. The first day they actually sold out of food.
They sold out of food at 7:30.
They started.
They had three times the amount of business they thought they were going to get, and they had to turn people away at 7:30. But yeah. Saturday was much more manageable. Wow. There was a wait, but it was very nice, and it was good to see them so busy and full. So they're fully launched.
Yeah, they had a dozen on tap, and then a couple kombuchas on tap, and they have kombucha cocktails and.
Yeah, they have kombucha margaritas. So if you want a
food's really good. I think Jennifer was saying they hold 300 people. That's their maximum capacity.
Yeah.
That's a good sized place.
Yeah. Bell Tower Brewing. Really fun.
Are they doing music at all?
They plan to. They haven't.
They're still figuring everything out.
Because they haven't. Where are we going to put the band and all that kind of stuff?
No, they have plenty of. They probably would be up.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, they're going to have live music. It's just not yet.
Cool.
Anybody else do anything local? Mike, Kathy?
No, we didn't go anywhere. We're pretty boring this week.
Oh, we had Subway.
We had Subway. Does that count?
Take us through your Subway experience. What actually did you get?
We're the only people in there,
did you get olives? Did you get pickles?
I got some pickles, I think, on mine.
I got everything on mine. It was good. I felt bad for those little youngsters. There was like $1 in the tip jar. And we went at like 8 o'clock at night.
There was one guy who was obviously newer than the other person, and then she was making fun of him because he wasn't doing anything right. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, but go to Subway, State Road. That was good.
Oh, I went to the UPS store.
Which one on State Road?
Oh, UPS. Now we're getting.
Yeah, which one on State Road? That's true. There's at least two on State Road.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to yell at people about getting vaccinated now?
Yes. Hey, everybody, get vaccinated.
Wear your mask.
Don't tell me what to do.
Get your booster too.
It's my liberty. Folks that
are 64 or have a high risk or comorbidity. Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer are all approved.
And they okayed any mixing and matching.
And mixing
too.
And matching. So get them. Go get them.
Get the pokety poke.
Yep.
It's almost we're to the point where this just needs to be a song.
Duly noted. I'll work on it.
The pokety poke.
Please, God, no.
Do the pokety poke.
Do the poke dance. It's not making it work. Humpty, pokety.
You get maybe the vaccination and you get immunity. That's what it's all about.
No. Just no.
Well, if you do it like a heavy metal riff, it
could put your butt cheek in. Put your butt cheek
up. Wait, you got yours in your butt?
You can get it anywhere. In a muscle.
Giggity.
Cut that. I did see an interesting post on Facebook, a picture of somebody who had really bad back pain that had dildo therapy, where they put this giant dildo, and it like it moved the, there was a bulging sacral something, and the dildo what pressed it back into place, and all the pain went away. So now I don't know if that was true.
Cured by big dildo.
There were like the kanji, there were either Japanese or Chinese characters, so I don't know how true that meme was, but I saw it on Facebook, so it had to be
real.
Honestly,
it's good for your health.
No,
is that why Alex is always complaining about back pain?
That showed it, yeah, and it showed like the sacrum of the spine. It could be legit, really.
Oh,
this could be a new breakthrough.
You're gonna go around telling everybody now. You need to take a big dildo up the butt if back.
They have back pain and yeah, dildo
Jen's
therapy.
Like, is Cirilla's open today?
Anal dildo therapy.
Oh, no.
That's anal therapy.
Anal therapy. Yeah. Oh my.
Okay, this one kind of went off the rails a little.
A little.
You're welcome, folks.
Yeah, thank.
Hey, Mike, have fun.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's staying in. Everything's staying in. Fuck it.
Anything with the butt. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It's staying in.
Didn't like the booty action.
I think you might.
That's what she said. It's staying in.
Passed out.
No, he didn't. He just, mum's the word, baby. Pucker factor.
There's lots of great stuff for the outro today, Bart.
How I'm going to go to the B-side.
Does it have
that's
to be
the question?
I think we should leave that in as an entirety uncut.
Are you talking about what's appropriate for the website or for the podcast or what's just appropriate in general?
Well, nothing's appropriate in general.
Appropriate is a social construct.
Who's this general?
Is it? Is really... it?
So anyway, yeah, get vaccinated.
Onto our roundtable discussion. Tuesday was the night the lights went out in the city.
Sure did.
Yeah, what? we dined by Camp Light Candlelight.
We did, yeah. I busted out the grill, and I just went shopping and bought a bunch of fucking groceries, and so I had to, nothing was cold. I was like, well, shit, I better cook a bunch of food. Who knows how long it's going to be out? No stove.
Yeah.
Fired up the grill, marinate some chicken breasts.
It was good.
Cooked them up and made a salad. And then by the time she came home, it was like dark.
Yeah.
And then we got out the kelda. We have a whole bunch of camping like lanterns and camping flashlights and everything. And we just set them all up over the house. And
yeah, it was fun.
And I have a couple of those little charging chargers, you know, the big battery pack chargers. And they were already charged up. So our phones were charged. We had the internet through the phone. And, you know, we went to bed normal time. And it was, yeah. Had a couple beers.
Yeah.
No, we had wine. We drank some wine.
We drank a bottle of wine.
And we made the best of it. It was great. It was a beautiful night outside to eat outside.
Yeah, it was nice temperature and the moon was out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely could have been worse if it would have been, you know, below zero or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or 100 degrees outside.
Do you want to read your blurb, Bart?
Yeah. So around 3:30 Tuesday, one single utility pole on Portage Trail Extension West near the Valley substation internally caught fire. Only the Valley and C substations are connected to First Energy.
Did you live in the Falls when we had the big national power outage?
Like 2003, 2004?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have power or not? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I thought all the Falls had power.
Kathy, were you here?
Yes, I would have been here, and I don't recall an issue, so.
Yeah, you would remember probably, losing power
you remember,
for a day or two.
Yeah, you would remember it because it was like 3 or 4 days or something.
Yeah. I remember it happening on the news, but I don't remember it affecting me.
Yeah, me too.
So,
Mike, how did you and Suzanne fare for this power?
Well, we started. We kind of had a little backup battery thing. We had a couple battery powered lanterns and shit, you know. But we already had food made up and stuff, so we just kind of ate that, and then brought out the laptops. Started watching Night at the Museum, you know. Got tired of that after a while, and then I got called into work to go fix the conveyor. So I didn't get back into this area till about 1 o'clock, and I shits and giggles, I was driving around town just to see, you know, what the extent was and just see who had power, who didn't, and then drove down by the substation. By then the boom trucks were already down and they were trying to work on getting the breaker closed. And I mean, you could see a couple of the work trucks over there at one of the little houses, you know, and generator going and stuff. But I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of activity at that point because majority of the work had already been done. But yeah, it was kind of cool, you know, and got up and, you know, 4 in the morning and, or I'm sorry, 3:30 that day, had to go back in. So, you know, came, basically took a quick little nap and got back up and no power still. So, you know, trying to take a shower by a little flashlight on your phone, you know, and going back into work, you know. Then Suzanne was like, oh, you know, power came on at 6, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I started reading about it and I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's been a while, but no, nothing big.
Can we talk about how people don't seem to understand how to navigate traffic when the traffic lights don't work?
Yeah, the four-way stops.
Yeah. And I actually did drive through one without thinking about it. On my way home from work, I work in downtown Akron. So it was about 4:15, 4:30. I was on State Road headed north. And right as we got into the falls, out of North Hill was when, you know, the lights were out.
I did drive through one.
You know, where everybody was stopped without stopping. And then I realized what I did and I was like, oh shit, you know. And then I noticed every time I got to an intersection and stopped, you know, there were tons of people who did exactly what I did. So please remember, people, if the traffic light doesn't work, it's a four-way stop. And when I say please, I'm talking to myself too.
It happens.
So you're the one of the guys they're talking about on Talk of the Town.
I was one of them. At one traffic light.
Yeah, and that's when it's easier when you know out of habit where those lights are. But if you're in an area that you're not used to being around, then you don't know where those lights are. And then when it gets dark, you're kind of...
It can get dangerous.
It can get risky, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, my mom lives in Monroe Falls, and there were a couple different times recently that the main light there at 91 and Monroe Falls Avenue like was out. And that is such a big intersection for a lot of traffic. A lot of people going like to Talmadge, going to the Falls, going to Stowe. And man, when that light is out, people just do not know what to do, because there's also that shopping center. So it's technically a four-way traffic light, but one of the, like, you know, parts of the intersection is actually just the exit of that shopping center. But everybody in Monroe Falls uses that shopping center all the time. So it's kind of chaos when that light's out.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because we did run out to Target real quick, you know, around, I don't know, 7, something like that. And coming back through, we're like, well, maybe we'll stop at McDonald's or something, just grab some food or whatever. And yeah, no, I mean, it was completely backed up out into the street. We're like, yeah, no. So that's when he's coming back and ate a couple cold leftovers, you know?
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because I mentioned that power outage in Arkansas. Day 2, I think it was, we decided we were just going to go get some booze, because, you know, if we were going to be trapped in, you know, 30 degree weather inside our house when it was colder outside, I guess we just were like, well, we're going to get drunk. So we go to the liquor store. There was a line. They were not letting anybody into in Arkansas. You have to go to a liquor store. There's no booze and gas, not even beer. So you have to go to the liquor store. So, you know, we're driving up to the liquor store and we noticed that they're not letting anybody inside. There's a line and there's people coming outside asking what they want. And it was so backed up. By the time we got up there, they were like, what do you want? I think we wanted bourbon. And they were like, yeah, no, we don't have that. You can get vodka or flavored stuff. And we're like,
how about the vodka? I'll take the vodka.
Yeah. Everybody had the same idea. Power's out. Let's get drunk.
Do it.
I don't know if we didn't mention it yet, but the city did have generators on some of the major traffic lights in town just for safety reasons.
Oh, did they? That's good.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, when I came,
State Road and Portage had one.
The power was out. And my son texted me. I was at my dad's house, and then when on the way home, you know, getting off on Broad Boulevard, taking a right from Route 8, taking a right onto Broad from Route 8 south. That light worked, and so did the next one. Second Street. No, Front Street.
Front Street.
Front Street worked.
Oh my bad, Front Street.
Off the exit in Front Street, we're both working.
Well, hats off to the people who got us back up and running.
Absolutely.
Yeah, much gratitude to those workers.
So, next weekend is Halloween.
Already?
Yeah, already. Which means October is almost over.
Yes.
One more weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's Thanksgiving time.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Turkey stuffing.
Yes.
Getting fat time.
Yes.
Alex, what, since you're vegetarian, what do you have for on Thanksgiving? What do you eat? Just the mashed potatoes and the gravy?
Tofurkey.
So, my life is going through some pretty significant changes, as you guys know. But I will say that in previous years, Thanksgiving holiday was always considered by us to be a food holiday more than anything else. So we didn't ever go to family members' houses because we didn't want to just eat, you know, green beans and mashed potatoes. So we kind of went all out with our vegetarian stuff. We do make tofurkey, and I know it's sort of a joke, but it's actually very good. I think anybody who expects tofurkey to taste like turkey and like scratch the turkey itch is obviously going to be disappointed. But if you approach it as though you're eating it on its terms, like, you know, you wouldn't compare a donut to a hamburger. You know what I mean? Like, they're different things. Sort of the same concept. Tofurkey is not turkey, but it is good. It's just not turkey. So we eat that, and it's basically like a, if you can picture like a lunch meat like log in the grocery store, you know, it's a real short.
You lost me at lunch meat log.
You know what I'm talking about, though. You guys,
yes, I do. Yeah.
So it's about the size of like a, it's like maybe two times the size of a softball or something, and it's like crimped on the ends, just like those lunch meat logs would be. And when you take the plastic off, you roast it. It takes like 3 hours to cook. You can either do a glaze or you can cook it with like vegetables. We usually would do like potatoes, onions, maybe like squash or carrots. And when you cut into it, you cut it into slices. What you get is like a round piece. And on the inside, there's like a wild rice stuffing. So it's really good.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah. And so we do mashed potatoes.
It's very mild, and it takes on the flavors of whatever you marinate in or cook with it. It's very neutral flavor. And I've cooked it a few times, and I'm not very good at it yet, but I do like it when it's done right. It's tasty. And I'm a hardcore meat eater, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've done other stuff, too. We've done, like, tofu-type stuff and various, like, types of seitan and things like that, but tofurkey is really kind of the good stuff. And we mashed potatoes. I like to make elote. I call it elote salad. It's like corn with mayonnaise and Mexican cheese and chili powder. Just like if you ever been to like the Johnny Elote's food truck, it's the same sort of thing. Sometimes people call it, what do they call it? There's like another English term for it. Maybe it's just Mexican corn or something.
Street corn, Mexican street corn.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Street corn.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do that kind of like in a bowl and just have it as a side. Cranberry, I like the stuff without the chunks in it. Straight out of the can, you know, that stuff. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
and some kind of bread. We have been known to do like a pumpkin focaccia that has walnuts and what's that cheese? It's a Gruyere.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds pretty killer.
It's good cheese. Yeah.
We'll have this conversation again in about a month.
We will. Yeah, we passed over Halloween because I got sidetracked by the fact that it's November.
Well, it's because you know.
Sugar and I'm staying away from candy and sugar because I'm calorie counting. Weak. So Halloween is a bad holiday for me.
So I did go to the Halloween extravaganza with my kids. Some of you guys saw my costume was I was Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. And I had my girls dressed up as little tigers. It was pretty hilarious. And nobody knew who I was. That was the best part. So as I'm walking around downtown, seeing tons of people I know, but none of them knew it was me. My handlebar was like, it was perfect.
It was on point.
Yeah. Actually, that's the thing that everybody was most impressed by was like my handlebar mustache. But I had like the shirt. I got the shirt and I like had like some Oakleys and a couple of like guns and holsters and. I even had like earrings and like I was wearing a hat with like a blonde mullet coming out the back. And that was great. The extravaganza was a lot of fun. What's that?
That was a hat.
Yep.
I thought that was real hair. Little Kentucky fade.
So did a lot of other people. Kentucky fade. That's funny. So, but there were some great costumes. I actually befriended a woman who was there with her kid, and she was dressed up like a construction worker, and her kid was dressed up like a traffic light. And we were both in the Beacon Journal, me and this woman, and they were also in the family costume contest. So we hung out like the whole time, just waiting for things to go. I will say, I think that Parks and Recreation should do the family costumes first, because little kids get super antsy. And so that's kind of tough. The judges were Meridon Walters, Russ Balthus, and Clerk of Courts, Amber Zivertosky, all of whom I know personally. So I'm just going with the assumption that I didn't place in the costume contest because they didn't want to seem like they were playing favorites. But it might just be that I didn't have a great costume. I thought it was a good costume. There was a
circus. Definitely pop culture, super pop culture.
Yeah, they probably never even saw the Tiger King, but whatever.
So have you guys all seen the Tiger King? Has everybody here seen it?
Yeah,
I've seen two episodes of it.
I've seen a couple episodes. The entire thing in one sitting.
I watched it in about two.
Yeah,
I know what it's about, and that's why I refuse to watch it.
Once you see three episodes, you can't stop watching.
Yeah, exactly. I was after the third episode, I was hooked. I was done. The first couple were hard to watch. The first couple episodes, it was a little rough. I almost gave up, and I got to the third one. I was like, "Holy shit, this is a shit show. I love it."
I gave up before the shit show happened, so I'm not watching.
Absolute train wreck.
So some of the other costumes were really great. I think the family that won was actually the circus family. They had a little wagon dressed up, made up like a circus, lion cage, like old school. And then the little kid inside was dressed up like a lion. And their whole family was each like a circus type character. They had like the dad was like, you know, the strong man. He was wearing like, you know, fake muscles and carrying around like a weight. It was really cool. And there was a couple different like Disney ones. My Halloween rival family, the Banjoffs, Sarah, we were just talking about her a little while ago. They did like Disney villains, I think. And her husband, Jeremy, was the guy from Nightmare Before Christmas. The like
Oogie Boogie.
Yeah, his costume was fantastic. And Sarah was Cruella de Vil, like the new version from the new movie. And her costume was great. So it was put on really nicely, the whole thing. You know, the downtown Cuyahoga Falls partnership was the one that really did all the like handing out of candy. So you walked up and down Front Street from Broad all the way down to Oakwood and back. And there was each business was handing out candy. Shelf Life was actually giving out free books and then little cards, like another free book.
Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah, so there was like a lot of like creative sort of things that they were handing out. The works were doing like little $5 game cards.
That's cute. Back. Those are good.
Yeah. But I know there was tons of others. There's been tons of other Halloween stuff. Yesterday was the drive-through Halloween, which they did last year for the first time because of the coronavirus. My kids went with their mom, and I'm told it was just as good as last year. Most of the parks in the city, you know, city workers and council people and all that sort of thing, handing out candy and whatnot. So
there was like a handing out candy almost every weekend of October.
Yeah,
it seems like
not even just the city, but the schools too. Like my kids next weekend, we're going to Lincoln Elementary, which is where they go to school for the trunk or treat that's put on by the PTO. Or it might be PTA there. I can't remember which. And there was one at DeWitt, I think, too. City Hall, I think Bart has in the notes here, is doing, what is it, next week?
It's on Friday.
Yeah, and that's from 3 to 4:30, so like if you don't work or if you get off work. I went to that last year, and it was 2 years ago, and I think it was the first time they had done it at City Hall, and it was great. Each department like has like a theme of their costumes. Like Parks and Recreation were like, their theme was the Wizard of Oz, so they had like each, you know, worker from Parks and Rec was dressed up like a different Wizard of Oz character, and you can vote on like which department has the best, you know, costume theme and all that. I'm commandeering the conversation in terms of Halloween just because I have little kids and I've been to all this stuff, but I gotta say the city really goes all out. And of course the 30th is a citywide trick or treat, people going door to door. So I'll shut up now. Sorry.
Yeah.
No. Thank you.
It's about time. Yeah,
super lots of just very broad and inclusive of the city, you know, trying to get everyone out and involved, and it was impressive.
I bought a Halloween costume this year. I'm going to be a space unicorn.
Space nice. Unicorn.
I yes. can't wait to see Steve yes. and his little space giant, unicorn onesie.
Giant fuzzy onesie with like a hat and a unicorn. And
please tell like me it's a giant stuff. Suction cup dildo on your head.
Oh, like, you know, oh hey.
I can do that. Sure.
It, but, the, you know. A costume comes with a non-dildo unicorn horn, Mike.
But I can put one on there, damn I guess. It.
But yeah, my, yes. what are we using for our anal dildo therapy?
Exactly. And we've
I'll
come
just, I'll just circle. Put one of those fist things on my head.
Podcast over. We've done it.
What's a fist thing? What's
later? Oh, my God.
Fist. Oh, boy. Oh, my. Jesus. Fist of corn.
That kind of goes with the anal dildo therapy.
A little bit, yeah. Fist okay. forearm. Ooh.
You're singing a different tune then.
Ooh. It's just a problem.
Diddly ho, everybody.
Howdy doodly do.
We're awake now.
And then there's Alex just going, what? Is there, what? I don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh! Mm-hmm.
The delayed response.
Or did we miss anything under Halloween?
No, we missed yes! a lot.
So the All City Trick or Treat is in the evening on Saturday, but there will be the 11th Annual Family Fair and Exceptionalities Expo at the church in Silver Lake from 12 to 3. And this is a trunk and treat event that'll have goodie bags with craft projects, candy, trinkets, and coupons from local restaurants.
Cool.
And then this Thursday, Parks and Rec and the library are hosting a night of spooky stories and s'mores for teenagers over at Oak Park.
Okay, I'm sorry, but like if I'm a teenager, am I really going to go to Oak Park for spooky stories and s'mores?
Well, they had one for
s'mores.
They had one for
maybe. Yeah, depends on the kids. I mean, it's
Oak Park in the evening. Sure. It's dark. It's the park. Maybe.
I'm just picturing teenagers like nerdy rolling kids, their ass.
But some quote unquote troublemaker cool kids. Which
don't get me wrong. I hope they do. It just I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't be cynical, Alex. Come on.
Oh, it's my nature.
They had one for adults. I think it was last week. Yes, in fact, it was. It was on Friday. They had one for adults that was over at, I have completely.
Lions?
No, across the street on Front Street.
Highbridge Glen?
Yes.
Highbridge Glen.
They had one with at Highbridge Glen on Friday.
Yeah, was there booze and s'mores?
There was no booze provided.
Oh, fuck that.
Provided.
It's a bring your own gummy.
Walk across the street or go down to Hi-Ho, grab a beer, come back down.
Now, I will say that the Parks and Recreation Board actually did approve a rule change so that Highbridge Glens could host like wine tastings and stuff and have alcohol.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Awesome.
Yeah, so like what, it's one of strictly the four, with, I think?
Yeah, it's right. It's a certain number per year and it's strictly with like Parks and Recs
events. They're with, permitting.
With, well, yeah, with them, yeah. So that just allows like the downtown partnership, for instance, to get, you know, Magna down there and do like a wine tasting with like live music or whatever, which I think is great. And I think they should have, I mean, I advocated for this at the time. I think they should have, you know, beer for the concert series at Kaiser Park in the summer. They do Sunday concerts. They built a stage out there now to do it even like, you know, a better production. I think if you had a beer truck out there, that would be even better. But I don't know that they're doing that yet. But, yeah.
And then just finally, you know, be sure to check out the website of the Halloween display tour if you're looking for different displays in the city.
There's a really cool house. I want to say it's on maybe like 9th. It's a really beautiful house also, but they just put like these witch hats all throughout their porch. They're just hovering in the front of the house. So there's just like maybe like 10 or 15 witch houses or witch hats just like hovering as if, you know, by themselves on this porch. It's so cool. It is the most subtle thing, but it's spooky and it just, I loved it. Have you guys seen any others that were like particularly good?
I haven't driven around a lot and after dark looking for spooky houses.
It's not really our thing. You know,
I'm more the Christmas light person.
I appreciate the work that goes into it. There used to be a house right around the corner from us. They would literally spend 2 months setting their Halloween stuff up.
But Halloween
every,
house.
Every weekend, and call the Halloween house. Every weekend, they put more up, more up, more up, more up, until it was just this great, crazy extravaganza.
Yeah.
And then one time, they put electrical wiring outside the house. One time,
it burned down.
It burned down.
It burned down to the ground.
Yeah, they actually burned the whole fucking house down.
Yep, and they're done.
So what is that street that's that comes off of Portage Trail up on the hill? Is it Northmoreland across from Bullock, kind of?
I can't think. It's not Northmoreland. Northmoreland's over on off Bailey.
It's North something, I think.
That's not Northland. Norma. No, that's just down from.
No, it's the one that goes all the way.
North Haven. North Haven.
Yeah, that street has some pretty epic Halloween yards. Those, because those people have those really big front yards, you know.
Yeah,
I love their houses North Haven. Are back from the street. I love that street.
It's a pretty street.
It's a very pretty street.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites.
Some of those houses really go out for Halloween, and it's not just, you know, the inflatables. It's like, you know, they build a fence and they put in like, you know, a couch with like, actually on 6th Street, there's a house that if you drive by, they have no Halloween decorations, but what they do have is just like a dummy sitting on their porch with a Jason mask on. And so The first time you drive by it, you'd be like, somebody's on that. Oh, because it looks like there's like a guy sitting there.
Down here on 7th, there's the one, it's an inflatable. It creeps me out every time. It's the baby, like the vampire baby.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and its face all lights up. I'm like, this thing is just creepy looking. I'm like, what the fuck? It's so stupid looking, but it's just creepy.
Is it good news time?
There is no good news.
But there's no Suzanne.
I was going to say maybe Mike's the good news surrogate.
Maybe Mike will talk about it.
I mean, Mike can make up some stuff.
I guess the good news would be that the new Dairy Queen is going to be opening soon, hopefully by Thanksgiving. But unfortunately, it means they're going to have to tear down the one that's currently there. So there is no Dairy Queen in this area for a couple weeks.
What are you going to do, Mike?
No blizzards for fat kid. I'm just going to have to eat a bunch of chubby hubby.
I did see on Facebook Marketplace, they were selling all of their interior booths and tables and stuff and garbage cans. Maybe you can go get one of their booths and put it in your house. You can pretend you're a Dairy Queen.
Or I'll put it outside.
You could.
Weatherize it and put it outside.
Yeah, they were selling all their interior fixtures. They were selling them. I didn't think they were asking a lot of money for them either.
Hmm. Maybe get one of those little stools that they had.
Souvenir. You can replace your kitchen table with it.
No. Love Dairy Queen, but not that much.
I don't believe you.
I just want the Blizzard machine. Fuck that. That's all I want.
Well, they might be moving that over. Who knows? Or maybe you can buy
it. Get a new one. Maybe.
You have to sign a non-compete or something when you buy it.
I'll call it a blizzard. Not a blizzard. It'll be a blizzard.
Blizzard.
Open a McDowell's next door.
McDowell's, yes.
McDowell's. We have the Golden Arch.
They have the Golden Arches.
Get my soul glow.
All right. Well, in Suzanne's absence, I have a special surprise.
Oh, no.
Are you ready?
No.
Bart's. It was as great as I hoped.
All right.
Okay, so the Calga Falls High School Tiger Marching Band will perform its final One More Time concert of the season in the high school auditorium this Thursday at 7 p.m. Tickets are $8 for adults and $6 for students and seniors.
Love that band.
Yes, One More Time is always a special show.
Yes, it's amazing. Fun. The last real show that the kids ever get to do, marching band, the high school auditorium. And it's all choreographed, and it's amazing, and the energy is great. It's if you haven't seen it before, I highly recommend it. We're definitely worth the $8.
Yeah, it compresses the marching band show that you see on the football field into this little tiny space, and the kids are
and they play all the songs they knew for the entire year.
So they're super good, and it's really wonderful.
Cheerleaders in the hallways, I mean in the walkways, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, and the
majorettes, not cheerleaders,
majorettes, dance team, whoever they are.
You're absolutely, you're right, they are not cheerleaders, they're majorettes, they're more talented.
And finally, as we said, Christmas is right around the corner.
Shut
your pie hole up. Shut it.
What is it now? Seven more Saturdays till Christmas?
Don't remind me how many Saturdays.
No.
Seven or eight more shopping times, folks. Although, Bart, you said you're done with your shopping, right?
Yeah.
I thought
what'd you give me, Bart?
Steaming pile of
Just remember, most of my gifts Bart's that I will give people are natural and they help things grow.
So manure.
Steaming pile of poop.
Big bag of shit. Are we going to do a Falls Free Press gift exchange again this year? That was fun.
Oh, I think we should do it.
I cherish
I agree.
My gift here.
I still have my little poopin' chicken or Trump or whatever that
and
was.
And that really cool magnet.
Yeah.
It was a tiny Trump. Yeah.
Yes.
I think Kathy got the shirt that I got.
I love that shirt.
Yeah, and then I got a candle, too. It said, it was a hilarious candle from Reverie. It was in a can. I think you guys got it. Steven and Jen, I think you guys got it. It said, fuck off or something.
Definitely had a profane message on it. Got that one?
So why are we talking about Christmas, Bart, on Bart's Arch in fucking October?
Registration for parking meters on Parade is the deadline to register is November 12th.
Yeah, how much does it cost anything to do it besides just making it?
The sponsor of meter, it's $20, but it doesn't cost anything to register.
Would you guys like to do it? Is a group of Falls Free Press meter?
Maybe. Let's say that. Yes.
Yes. All right. Now we have to think of an idea.
Now we think of an idea now. You know, when's the deadline, Bart?
November 12th.
Okay.
All right. If you guys all help,
which is coming up around the corner after then.
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Almost.
So
how long do we have to make it before or after we pay the $20?
I am pulling up the website.
Yeah.
To give you a precise answer.
We should have our podcast viewers send in ideas.
Oh, no.
But I don't think they ever communicate with us.
Hello, Colorado.
That we're not making a giant green bud Christmas tree.
That would be pretty cool.
Yes, yes, we are.
Okay.
Go, Kathy. You inspired me.
Decorate a giant marijuana bud.
Yeah, that would be all. Let's do it. No, we would get fired.
Do it.
But we could have the that Howe Avenue business sponsor us. What's the name of that? The medical marijuana dispensary? they can sponsor
it. What's that name?
Epic.
What is it, Mike?
I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank on what it was. Or what it is.
Herbology.
That's it.
Herbology, yeah.
Yeah.
Right by Ambiance.
Yeah. It's brought to you by
sponsors. You could get like a co-sponsorship, Ambiance and Herbology.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
It'd be a pretty cool parking.
That could be the sexy candy cane parking meter.
But the candy cane's made out of, I don't know.
Like fishnet stockings.
We do need these have to be PG at least. Come on, guys.
So,
no rotating, vibrating, warm water squirters.
No, I mean, unfortunately,
anal therapy Christmas.
No.
Anal ease, big tube of anal ease.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah.
All decked out in Christmas
with a big old bowl. Oh, I'm on it.
Or maybe Santa Claus with a ball gag.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Santa Claus with a bong.
Yeah, sell ads now. Guys.
And with a bong in his hand.
It's a submissive bong, so it's got the ball gag you got to pull for the carburetor.
What'd you find out, Bart?
So deadline to apply is Friday, November 12th, and then decorations must be installed between November 22nd and 26th.
Oh,
so,
it's a short window to decorate.
Yeah.
That's probably Thanksgiving weekend.
We have maybe 2 weeks max.
Yeah. Well, the deadline to apply is the 12th, but
a month.
Yeah,
so we have a month.
Assemble things up until that point.
Assemble.
Yeah.
Transformers, assemble. Wait, is that?
A Transformer Christmas.
No, Avengers, not Transformers.
That's Avengers assemble.
Oh, Avengers Christmas.
Avengers. Autobots roll out.
Yeah.
Thanos Christmas.
Oh, God.
One giant fist.
Yes.
A fist with all this stones.
Yeah, we're going there, Bart.
And stones would be like the Christmas balls.
Yes.
Steve's back with the fist, man. Yeah, man. Come on.
Bart's no, we got away from that. No, we're coming back around.
A Thanos fist holding a dildo.
Sorry, Bart.
Sacral therapy. Christmas sacral therapy.
Oh, God. So,
with one snap, I can cure your back pain.
Yes, that's right.
So I think last year, didn't Harp and Thistle easily win the whole thing?
Yeah. Yeah, with the Grinch.
Yeah. And then, Bart, you have an article coming out, right?
Yes.
Harp and Thistle to talk about that?
Well, I have an article about this coming out. I'm waiting to hear back from Harp and Thistle's. I sent Cindy Michael an email last week, but I haven't heard back yet.
Awesome. And Kathy, I think I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to ask, with all this discussion, which politician is going to be interviewed with this podcast? Because they're going to be tied to it. So it might
No.
They're going to be mad.
Yeah.
First fun, question Mike. Of the interview. How do you feel about anal therapy?
Oh, boy.
Are you pro or you're con?
What else you got, Bart?
That is all I have for Bart's art.
He's like, thank God.
So we want to thank our lawyer.
We want to thank our lawyers for protecting us.
Thank you, LLC.
We want to thank our listeners for joining us this week and putting up with us. And we want to thank our
naughty shenanigans.
You made it this far.
We want to thank Evan Perot for speaking with us. Also, stick around for that interview. And be sure to catch the bonus episode with Russ Balsas later this week. And if we remember, we do want to hear your ideas for potential interviewees, potential articles, comments on the show. Send them to us at fallsfreepress@gmail.com and review us on all the podcast places if you enjoyed what you heard. For now, we'll say goodbye, and we hope you join us next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Sorry, not sorry.
Not sorry. My back doesn't hurt.
This week, we're here with Evan Perot, candidate for council at large and city council. Evan, thank you for sitting down to talk with us this week.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Excited about the opportunity.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background and yourself?
Sure. So this one gets a longer-winded answer just because we're in Cuyahoga Falls and there's more relatable touch points here. So I grew up in Cuyahoga Falls, went to Silver Lake Elementary, Roberts Middle School, and then graduated from Cuyahoga Falls in 2000. My wife is also from the Falls and she too graduated, in 2000 as well. Both her parents graduated from Falls and, let's see, I worked at the Natatorium and Waterworks when they first reopened. So that was my first job in high school and then, went away to college for 4 years. And then did what I told myself I wasn't going to do, right, and moved back to the one place I said I was never going to live again, and that was when I was 22, and I'm now 40, and I've been here ever since. So a lifelong resident that left for 4 years and came back to a place that he's proud to call home. I've got three beautiful children. Anna, Will, and Nora. They are 15, 13, and 8. They go to Woodridge High School, CVCA, and Silver Lake Elementary. So we are spread all over the map. And my wife is a middle school guidance counselor at Bullock Middle School here in the Falls.
Wow, that's a busy drive to get everyone to school in the morning.
We tell ourselves before we had to make this trip like three times in a day sometimes that Woodridge and CVCA really aren't that far away, but there's a lot of traffic lights in between there and home, so it is not as much in the right around the corner as you'd think, but yeah, it's an adventure right now. That just happens to be the season of life that we are in, where we get a little windshield time with the kids, but fortunately we get that time with them and they're not out there driving on their own just yet.
Yeah.
And then professionally, I work for the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company at their corporate headquarters in Akron, Ohio.
Where'd you go to college at?
I went to Ohio University. I am a proud Bobcat.
Good place.
Yeah. Enjoyed it. Met a lot of great people. That's where I got, like most, I had originally went to school to be a criminologist, actually, and then fell in love with two professors that were communications professors, and that shaped my path into sales and marketing, which is what I've been doing professionally since I graduated from OU.
Wonderful. What is your history in politics?
So I'd say my history in politics, I guess by definition, is fairly fresh or short-lived. I guess if I could, I'd use liberty with that and say my history in public service might be a more robust answer. And that actually started related to the city of Cuyahoga Falls about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm sure you're familiar that we put together a huge levy campaign that we needed to get passed in order for us to obtain some state funding in order to build new schools for the Cuyahoga Falls School District. That was a project that really was near and dear to my heart. As I mentioned, I graduated from Falls. My wife graduated from Falls. My wife's parents graduated from Falls. And when I say that, I know that residents of this community understand that I don't just mean that we went to the same school district. We went to the same schools. We were in the same classrooms. We used the same lockers. And I was seeing that that's what the future was going to be for my kids. And we had an opportunity to take a big step that would be huge for our community if we could get new schools. So I kind of dove headfirst into that levy committee. I did a lot of speaking engagements for the committee, and I really enjoyed it. I love getting up in front of people and being able to talk to an audience about a passionate project and hear how they feel about it and work to incorporate their thoughts and their feelings into something that has a nice tangible end result to it, if you will. And from there, I thought that was going to be it, right? Like, I got my taste of it. It was good. It felt nice. But I got a really nice letter from Mayor Walters, actually, thanking me for my service, thanking me for getting involved, et cetera, et cetera. And that sparked something in me. And I happened to run into him at the Natatorium one day, and we just struck up a conversation, thanked him for the note that he sent me, and he asked if I would be willing to be on the Charter Review Commission a couple years ago. I humbly accepted, not knowing what I was really getting myself into. That was an excellent experience, even though this last charter review was done completely virtually because we did it during a global pandemic. So we never actually met in person, but we had a lot of great virtual discussions, very similar to what you and I are doing right now, about the charter. And that was my first, I guess, public service, but facing into politics, if you will. And it was a very interesting and educational experience. And then from there, my next appointment was I currently sit on the Cuyahoga Falls Park and Rec Board. And for anybody that's not familiar, there's 5 people on the Park and Rec Board. 3 are appointed by the mayor, and then 2 are appointed by the 2 different public schools within Cuyahoga Falls. Woodridge Schools appoints a member, and Cuyahoga Falls School Board appoints a member. So I represent the Cuyahoga Falls School Board on the Park and Rec Board.
Wonderful. And I agree that when you get just told by Mayor Walters, you know, such a great job you're doing, that definitely that can help, that can push anybody to follow their goals.
It was nice to get a pat on the back, right? Yeah, it's always nice to hear that, and certainly was much appreciated. And I know that every little bit helped, because it was a big ask. It still is a big ask. It was a big ask of this community and the taxpayers to put out more money and essentially almost take a leap of faith in what these schools could do for the community.
What do you feel makes Cuyahoga Falls great?
I think that it's I don't mean to sound cliche, but it's the people. Like I mentioned earlier, it was a place that I was never going to come back to. I feel like maybe when you're in high school or even in those early college years or even early adult years, you see this see a place and you take it for granted, or you assume that every other city must just be like the hometown that you grew up in. And then if you see enough or you talk to enough people, or if you just perhaps change your perspective on life, you'll see the world that you're living in a little bit different. And that's how I started to see Cuyahoga Falls. Cuyahoga Falls is a place that gave me my education and my start, my sense of responsibility, my sense of pride. It gave me the opportunity to meet my future wife. It's educated my children. It's provided education and employment for my siblings, for my parents, for my in-laws. And all that is wonderful, but all of it wouldn't be possible for all of the great people that call Cuyahoga Falls home. I don't know that there's as many communities that are as proud to call Cuyahoga Falls their home.
What makes you stand out from the other at-large candidates currently?
I guess, I don't know, stand out, different. That's a tough one to answer. I guess it would be some of the things that I was just talking to you about in my, I guess let's blend them together of personal life and personal history or ties to the city, and then civic opportunities or civic volunteer work that I've been able to do. I don't believe that another candidate has that blend of not only being a lifetime resident and or graduate from the schools, but in addition to that has served on boards or supported legislation inside of the city before. I think that that's a unique skill set that I offer that may be a little bit different than some of the other candidates.
Good, good. It's definitely going to be a tough one here. I apologize. Sure. Your campaign, as well as many other candidates this election cycle, for different seats on council, they've been very spiritual and Christ-centered. How do you feel a campaign like this allows space for citizens who are either not Christian or not religious at all, or, you know, just feel religion persecutes them?
So do you have, I guess I'd ask just as a clarify, to clarify back to you as to what part of my, let's be specific in your wording, my campaign is.
More the campaign, yeah.
You think my campaign is religious focused and Christ-centered, or who I am as a person?
Well, you as a person is perfectly fine, but I feel like many, many candidates this cycle have focused a lot of religion into their campaign speeches and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So I think one of the, for me, as being a newbie, if you will, to the world of politics, let's call it a newbie to the world of campaigning might be a better way to put this.
Yeah, because you've definitely, with what you've been doing, you have worked in politics but haven't campaigned heavy.
Yes. Yeah. So I feel like a campaign is especially at a local level. I've lived here my whole life. There's so many people I've never met. And there's no way that even if I was knocking on every door every single night that I would even be able to meet everybody in this city. So my intent has been from the very beginning to do my best to allow the community members to get to know who I am as a person. Because how I would write legislature or how I would serve as a city council member, I don't know how to do that. There's not a book that I would go read, but I know how to be Evan Perot, and I know how to be open and honest about who I am as a person. And I've worked really hard, and I fail at this every day. I fail at it every day to always remain true and unapologetic for who I am. And if that means that I'm going to tell you that I go to church on Sunday, and that Jesus and our religion and our faith and our family has been a big part of bringing us together, and I hope making me a better dad and a better husband and a better human, I'm not going to apologize for that. But I don't look at that as a that I'm coming into a council meeting holding the Bible up and slamming it down and saying that you need to do this or do this. I would tell you that the more time that I've spent either in church or in the Word, or in prayer, it's allowed me to love everybody in this world so much more than how I used to be. And this is a new one for me, Bart. This hasn't been who I've been for the last 20 years. It's a newer experience for me in the last 5 or 6 years. And it's helped me out of some really, really tough times. And that's not to be pushy. That's just to be honest about who I am. And I can't reiterate enough that while it's helped me, that's me. It's not, doesn't need to be you or anybody else. That's me. And I assure you that having that faith-based approach for myself has allowed me to be a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better human, and honestly, much more loving of everybody that's around me.
I appreciate that. I guess jumping off of that, it's different. What do you see are the biggest concerns facing Cuyahoga Falls coming up in the future?
I'd like to say that we wouldn't have any, that there isn't things to be concerned about, that our community is great and wonderful, and that I don't have concerns. But I don't know that I have concerns, but I don't know that I have Cuyahoga Falls specific concerns. I think my concerns are more, maybe more holistic, maybe worldly, or at a national level. And I guess then you could boil them down into the local level, right?
Yeah.
We've become very, it seems as though in 2021, we are a more divisive society than perhaps we were in 2001, or 2011. And I don't know that I would go back farther than that, because in fairness, as I've hinted, at 40 years old, I don't know that I was looking for those things in the late 90s as a high school student.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I was the same way. I wasn't thinking about that at that time.
Right. So it's not fair for me to try and say anything about that. So I'd only speak about what I know. And as we get older, unfortunately, that's already like we've got a 15 or 20 year window. And I think that it would be fair to say that we've become a little bit more divisive. And I don't know that that's where we need to be going as a human race, as Americans, as Ohioans, as Cuyahoga Fallsians, I think is the proper grammatical use there. A us versus them, an R versus D, red versus blue. That stuff plays well on the television set at 8 and 9 o'clock at night on CNN or Fox News. But it doesn't help us here in Cuyahoga Falls. It doesn't help us become a better community for one another. And that's at the core of it, one of the main reasons why I decided to run, and why running for at large is, that's a big apple to bite into for somebody that's never run before.
Yeah, you're not in just one ward. You're everywhere.
No, we're everywhere, and we've met a lot of people. But what is very unique about this opportunity is the one thing about politics is almost always you're running to beat the person that has the seat right now. So it by nature becomes this divisive situation. Well, in this instance, I feel like we had a very unique opportunity to step into something. And for the audience that may not be aware, you know, there are two open at-large spots this year. And Jeff Fiula has decided to resign and walk away, not run for re-election. So that's one of the open spots. And if anybody knows anything about Cuyahoga Falls, you know Jeff Fiula. Jeff Fiula has been an icon in this community for decades. And I think everybody can thank him for his public service over the last several years and everything that he's contributed over the last several decades to this community. And then I know that Russ Balthus, who's running right now, sits in one of the seats, and he moved into one of those seats. So now he's running I don't know that re-election is the right word, but he's running to maintain his seat, let's say, right? And then there's Brian Ashton and Jason Rickenbacker and myself. So we have four fine gentlemen running for two open seats, and it created this situation where it didn't feel like it was this as much of this us versus them as it just was how you have to fill the ticket in Cuyahoga Falls, two Republicans and two Democrats vying for two open seats. So it felt, like I said, a lot less divisive or adversarial, if you will, to head into an opportunity like this. And I guess that's my long-winded answer to get back to what your original question was, which was, what is my biggest concern? It's that we don't become divisive amongst each other. It's that we realize that we have to work together. It's that if we do have to select R or D when we choose to run at the local level, that we work to try and find a balance in those elected officials, because that's the best way to move everybody forward. If you sit in a room where everybody just agrees with what you have to say, that's a dangerous place to be in, both politically, professionally. In my own home, I wouldn't want everybody to just nod and say yes to whatever dad says, because dad doesn't know everything. I don't know everything. I make mistakes every day. So if we're going to have that R and that D play, which we do in the falls, as I know, that's how our charter is written. Then let's see how balanced we can become amongst each other, because it's okay to disagree. That's how we get better as a society. We can disagree without being disagreeable, because your opinion on something, I may have never thought about it that way. How, and I talked about this last week with a group of people in Ward 8. How arrogant of me would it be to just show up at your Northampton town hall and tell you what you need in Ward 8? I don't know. I've never lived in Ward 8 my entire life. I'd love to hear from you how I can help you continue to achieve your dreams by living in Cuyahoga Falls. And I don't need an R or a D to be able to do that. I need to close these lips and open these ears and listen.
Research is research, no matter who you are.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got a few more questions here. I realize we're running a little bit longer than I had planned. I apologize for that. One, you've been running a lot of help with Adam Miller and Warren Capps. And I love that people run together, you know, especially with council at large, because that helps get to know people better. Like you're saying, a lot of stuff has come out lately about Warren Capps, including a letter to our Community Voices column last week. Were you aware of any of this before you started running with him?
So I'm unaware of the letter to the Community Voices. I'm not sure what you're referencing there.
We had a letter come to our newspaper.
Okay. Regarding?
Regarding his history with abuse and things that have been found in public records about him. Abuse in his position with family members, etc.
So I don't know that I could speak to that, because I haven't seen it and I haven't read it. I will tell you that I was mailed a piece from the Summit County Democratic Party to my house, and I live in Ward 7, so my family doesn't have a vote for one way or the other, but I was mailed a piece from the Summit County Democratic Party about Warren last week. So I guess if I would assume that those two subjects are similar in nature, is that a fair assumption?
Yes, that would be, yes.
So Warren and I first met when I was 16, which, again, keep dating myself. Sadly, that's like 25 years ago now. And I had the opportunity to do a ride along with him when he was a police officer. And if you remember earlier on in our discussion, I mentioned that's what I had first gone to Ohio University for, was a criminal justice degree. So needless to say, Warren left good impression on me when I got to do a police ride along with him. Warren's a former Marine. He did a lot of good when he was a police officer in Cuyahoga Falls, and I enjoyed my time riding along with him, and I enjoyed him as a community officer inside the schools, helping keep the school safe. Warren and I still obviously know each other to this day, and Warren and I have spent time together on the campaign trail. Am I aware of every little detail of Warren's past? No, I don't claim to be. Are the things that were written about him in that piece concerning? Sure. Those are tough things to hear. They can make you sad. They could make you angry. They could make you a lot of different things. But if I recall correctly, and I don't have the piece handy, I don't have it with me right now, but I believe that a lot of those things happened in the past. And by past, let's call it, is it fair to say 10 to 15 years ago?
Yeah. I get somewhere along there, anywhere between 10 and 20. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Somewhere between 10 and 20 years ago. So what I like to tell my kids a lot is that I'll always forgive the person. It doesn't mean that I forgive the sin. And what I mean by that is what I've read in that piece, the only thing that disqualifies Warren from being, quite frankly, is a perfect human being. And I don't know any perfect human beings. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't either have regret or remorse or feel sorry for our past, but then we move on. So I don't know if I wasn't clear. The last time I talked to Warren prior to this campaign was almost 25 years ago. And then life fast forwards and we both have families. I'm married with 3 kids. I'm a grown man. And here we are and we come back together again. And what brought us back together again? It's a love for this community. It's a passion for the citizens of Cuyahoga Falls. So if you asked me if I would show up tomorrow with Warren Capps on the campaign trail, I would. I absolutely would. I forgive Warren Capps for his past because I know that I've needed people to forgive me for my past too. Now, your follow-up, one of them was, what about the people that would be concerned about his past? The members of Ward 8, perhaps, that have a voice in this, right? We talked that you can exercise your voice by voting. That's how you exercise your opinion in this republic, this democracy that we live in. That's how you exercise your voice. I don't have a voice for Warren. I cannot vote yes or no for Warren, but the members of Ward 8 can. And if you are unsure about who you should vote for, call Warren. Call him. Find him on Facebook. Reach out to him. Message him. If you're concerned and you want to know who Warren Capps is today, that's how you should find out. Talk to Warren. I think most people would leave impressed listening to what Warren has to say, because the passion that he has for Cuyahoga Falls oozes out of every pore of his body.
And I think you can say that about every candidate too. Is so many people running, they really love Cuyahoga Falls, or else they wouldn't be on council now, or at least trying, or at least running now.
You get no argument from me on that one. That's what makes this so much fun, right?
Yeah. So down my last question here, going to be the toughest one ever.
This is a hard one.
What is your favorite place to eat in Cuyahoga Falls?
All right. So I know I've already taken up way too much of your time, and I apologize for my long-windedness and my excitable nature. But this is a hard one, and I'm going to tell you I'm not going to be able to give you just one answer.
Oh,
is that fair?
Multiple people have given multiple answers.
All right. So here, I'm gonna slice it up for you real good. So for breakfast, I'm a Village Gardens guy on State Road. Tom and his family have been like a second family to mine. My wife worked at the Village Gardens for 5 years. She was working full time as a guidance counselor. We had 2 kids in diapers and we needed diaper money. Every Saturday, she was there as a waitress, and Tom always took good care of us. And I'm always down for a feta and tomato omelet at the Village Gardens.
Oh, it's so good there.
See? All right, so we're 1-for-1. All right, next, lunch. An easy lunch, and I love that now I can get it any time of the year. I'm a root beer stand guy. I love a good hot dog and a root beer float from the root beer stand. It's right down the street from me. So that's probably my easy to get to lunch spot. Dinner is where I'm going to go a couple different directions for you. If we're going out as a family and we want to have a really good meal together, we love Darby's on 59. We can walk to Darby's. We live in River Estates. We just walk across the street and hang out at Darby's with our kids. Our kids love it there. It's a perfect spot for the five of us to sit and eat together. Pizza and wine is Leo's. Pizza and beer is Hi-Ho. That's my expert analysis.
I love their pizza at Hi-Ho.
It's really good. And wings, I got to give them a shout too. Wings, the Boulevard.
Yes, yes.
That's my lifetime residency of Cuyahoga Falls. Probably eating too much food when I should be cooking at home, but that's my expert opinion on those things.
A lot of us, I think, are at that point at times. But that's there's right. so many good choices, like you said, and all of them that you said, excellent, excellent places to eat.
Good. Well, I'm glad we agreed on that one.
So, Evans, thank you for sitting down here with the FallsCast this week, and we appreciate you reaching out to us.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you making the time to have me on, and good luck with the rest of your shows.
All right. We'll talk to everyone next week. Bye.
Take care. Thank you, everybody.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress or at @falls_free on Twitter or Instagram. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Alex Hall. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so that they can listen as well.
Where's Steven? What the hell?